the daily racing podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We're going to look ahead to Friday's racing on this edition. You'll hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:40pm. Dave Kellner, Andy Holding and Gary Capewell will be the team in the studio. The meetings on Friday afternoon are flat action from York, jumps action from Carlisle and Newton Abbott. And into the evening we have all-weather racing at Wolverhampton and over in Ireland as well at Dundalk. So five meetings to look forward to. You'll hear all of that on Friday. But right now, my name is Mark Walton and joining me to look ahead to the action is Catherine Fry. How are you, Catherine?
Yeah, good, Mark. You okay?
Yeah, not too bad, thank you. Plenty to talk about on this edition of the podcast. What have you been up to? Looking at the races that you've picked out, they're all jumps races. You haven't bothered with York, so are you gearing up for the jump season now?
I am, but also it was a tad laziness on my part. Well, I'm up and down the country like a lunatic this week, and I just thought, well, these are races that I'm going to be able to study with ease. I must admit I did have a cursory look at the York card, but you can blame me. I decided to go with the easy option.
The card at York, by the way, is something of a minefield as well.
Exactly.
The fields are huge. It's almost impossible, but if you find the winners there, you'll find yourself a few quid as well. It'd be a good old day for you. But we're going to look at those races shortly. But before we do, let's talk about some of the news stories in the racing news. And we'll start with the all-weather. We're going into the jump season and we're going to talk about the all-weather. Next year there will be an all-weather championship and that will climax in a £1 million all-weather championship day at Lingfield on Good Friday. It'll be the richest all-weather card run in Europe. And if nothing else, at least it's going to raise the profile of all-weather racing, because in recent years it's kind of overlooked, isn't it, all-weather racing? It's like the backup or the get-out-of-jail meetings. But they actually stand on their own in their own championship this time.
Yeah, we completely agree with you there, Mark. Obviously, all-weather sort of wouldn't be something that I would really focus on, to be honest, and that's probably from the perception that you've just mentioned, really. I know something has had to happen for a long time with the all-weather, and I think, obviously, as we all know, and it's been mentioned in today's racing press, you know, there have been a few integrity issues, and hopefully that this will straighten things out. I think the one thing I'm not sure about, I think it's great for racing to have an all-weather championship. The actual huge cash injection sort of, you know, so many things, the prize money elsewhere is lacking a bit too. So that's an issue. And also, I'm not too sure about the Good Friday, because I think all the people that, you know, the stable staff, the people that need to be working in bookmakers' shops, you know, it's, some people still are quite religious. You know, I'm not particularly religious myself, but I'm sure that involved in racing there are people who are. So I do sort of feel for them if they do have to work on a Good Friday. No, I completely agree that something had to happen with all-weather racing, but I still don't know about the Good Friday.
Yeah, and I suppose the flip side to the argument would be that rather than put £1 million up for Good Friday, spend that money on the other meetings as well, particularly
exactly.
the bank holiday meetings around Easter as well, because they're not always the highest quality, are they? And the prize money is stretched across several meetings, so I suppose that's the negative side to it.
That is, yeah, definitely.
But it's good for all weather racing, I suppose, and the fact that there's something for everybody as well. There'll be a three-year-old race, a fillies race, a marathon, a sprint. You know, you're going to see a wide range of horses that, if they're good enough on the all-weather, there'll be plenty of prize money on offer, and it should be a good day of racing, even if it is in the wrong place, maybe.
Yeah, no, it's kind of going to be, like just you mentioned there, it's going to be kind of a double-edged sword for me, because I will start to take more of an interest in the all-weather now with this championship, but it's still the prize money issue that lacks elsewhere, and the Good Friday. You know, we've been, racing's a 24/7 job for me, but I still don't know whether if I want to see racing on Good Friday or not.
Yep, that's fair enough. I think it's going to polarise opinion for the time being. But I think it could be a good idea. I mean, we've seen the level of all-weather racing increase in recent years at Kempton and Wolverhampton and the like on an evening. And hopefully it'll continue the progression. So good news for the all-weather racing there. Let's move on from that, though. And we'll talk about money elsewhere. I mean, if there's £2 million on offer there, it's small change to Sheikh Al Thani, I imagine. A day after we saw Mr. Magnier buy one for 3.6, I think it was, million guineas, Sheikh Al Thani's gone and spent 5 million guineas on a filly related to Woz. So, the money's extraordinary, but it's good news for racing, isn't it? The real superpowers in terms of ownership are willing to put their hands in the pockets and continue to back the game, which is massive, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think this has been a fantastic addition to the flat game. You've now got three big sort of powerhouses, really, haven't you, in the game with Godolphin, just the new Sheikh, Sheikh Johan, and obviously the boys from across the sea. It is fantastic for the flat game. I mean, I was up in Leeds with you guys and kind of shocked at the three million purchase, yeah. And travelling home yesterday to hear the news of the 5 million. I mean, wow! I wish I'd have actually been able to get down to book one just to see these horses go through the ring. But if you've got it, why not? I was watching the clip of the filly go through. And it's just you can hear a pin drop. Exciting times. Yeah. Good luck. It is a little bit crazy, but great for racing.
It is. It is good stuff. And the rise of him as an owner as well in the last year or 18 months maybe or whatever. He's gone from. What was it? He started as the Pearl Bloodstock, did it? And then it's risen into this, and we've seen him have Trave as well this year, and really. They've stormed their way into it, haven't they?
And it's actually comes across every time I've sort of heard him speak. Actually, comes across very well.
Yeah.
So that seems a very very easy mannered gentleman. Obviously, and you can see the passion for the game there, which is great to see. And actually, I remember reading an interview with him a couple of years ago, and he said he actually attended the first day of the Cheltenham Festival, and he stood down by the final flight of the hurdle in the champion hurdle, and it was when Hurricane Fly beat Peddler's Cross. And he said he actually had tears in his eyes. And I thought, well, yeah, you're all right, you. I like you. So, no, good luck to him. Hopefully goes on to. Well, you expect that we're going to see putting in many good performances on the track to try and recoup some of that money.
Yeah, she'll have to win some big races, won't she? I hope she doesn't get a touch of the Torres and then get overdone by the price tag or whatever.
But, yeah.
Let's move on to jockeys next then, from owners to jockeys we go. And several jockeys worthy of discussion. Notably, Martin Dwyer, he's had his ban overturned, and I think common sense has prevailed in the end, hasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. It was ridiculous to slap the ban on him. Must be an enormous relief for him, and I'm glad that the BHA have decided not to uphold the ban. Common sense has prevailed, as you say.
Yeah, from a jockey that hasn't been able to ride to a jockey that can't stop riding winners in Ireland, Joseph O'Brien. He got a treble on what day are we on? We're on Thursday, aren't we? So it was Wednesday. I'd never know what day I'm on this podcast.
No, I know.
He rode a treble and has broke the record for number of winners in a season in Ireland. He beat Mick Cannan's record and now has a tally of 117 for the season, with still several weeks to go. He's got the ammunition behind him, hasn't he? He's got the big, powerful stable behind him. But credit to him, because he's not the lightest, is he? And he has to work hard to keep his weight down. But because he's on such powerful horses and all the time, he's open to plenty of flack. But you can't argue with the numbers, can you?
Can't argue with the numbers. He does get a lot of criticism, I think, kind of unfairly in my, but. You know, he's an easy target, isn't he, for people, obviously, who he's connected to. A lad can't help that. Speaks very well in public, just like his father does. He's like you say, Mark, his weight issues, that must be an absolute nightmare for him. I wonder if we will see him turning his attention to jumps in the next couple of years, because he, you know, he's 20, isn't he?
Yeah.
So his weight is going to go up, and I think the O'Brien said a couple of seasons ago, didn't they, that they didn't want to see him kind of, you know, starving himself. But it's an incredible achievement at his age. And all right, people will argue he's had the ammunition to do it, but he's still putting in the hard work every day.
Yeah, and 20 years ago when Mick Kinnon set that record, he was only just born. So
yeah, exactly.
he is only a young lad. And final news on jockeys, looking ahead to the Cesarewitch this weekend. Nicky Henderson, who likes a winner in the Cesarewitch, he's picked the best two jockeys we have over here in terms of numbers. He's gone for Ryan Moore, who's going to partner Lieutenant Miller, and Richard Hughes, who will be on Earth Amber with the Cesarewitch coming up. What do you make of A, those jockey bookings, and B, the race? Do you have an opinion at the moment?
Yeah, I do. I'm waiting to, because I believe that Newmarket has scheduled quite a bit of rain, which is obviously, I'm very keen on the favourite, on Domination, but I know that it, sort of a substantial amount of rain is really going to put pay to those chances. Regarding the jockey bookings, well, if you think you've got two horses good enough to win or be placed in the Cesarewitch, which, why not? You're going to go out and get the best. I think Lieutenant Miller kind of went onto everyone's radar, really, ran extremely well in the Ascot Stakes, just touched off at Goodwood. I think Earth Amber's quite a nice price, isn't he, Mark? Have you got the prices for the Cesarewitch?
I have, yes. Earth Amber is at 28 to 1.
Yeah, so, well, what went on? Yeah, I mean, he hasn't been seen since coming seventh to the subsequent Ascot Gold Cup winner at Ascot. So yeah, that's a very and a very interesting booking, but and a very nice price as well. But no, it's as we stand now, I'd be very, very keen on the favourite. But when with the ground change, then that is going to sort of sway my decision to look elsewhere. I must admit, it's not a race that I've looked in any great depth at just yet, but sort of just, I would also be quite keen on Palacitor as well. Obviously missed the Ebor, but then again, I believe that a little bit of cut is going to suit him as well. So what price is Palacitor with you?
Yeah, Palacitor's 10s.
Yeah.
Domination is the 7-1 favourite. So
yeah,
if it doesn't rain, Domination. If it does, Palacitor then, yeah?
Yeah, I think so, but obviously with the fact that Nicky's going there with two horses that he feels are, you know, good enough to get those jockey bookings, then
mm-hmm.
you have to take note. Obviously, a race that he knows how to score in, and he can ready one up for this. So yeah, and true, I always like the Cesarewitch actually.
Yeah.
I'd have to say probably one of my favourite long distance races on the flat.
Good. And just to put a price on Lieutenant Miller as well, I didn't mention that price. He's 12-1, so perfectly good each-way price on him
definitely,
as well. So.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Right. Well, that's on Saturday this week, isn't it? Let's concentrate on Friday, shall we, before we get to Saturday. And as we mentioned, you picked out three jumps races rather than looking at the stuff at York.
It was just easier, Mark.
And we're going to look at two at Newton Abbott and one at Carlisle. So the first of which is the 220 at Newton Abbott, which is a novice's hurdle. Over 2 miles and 3 furlongs, and a few interesting ones in here, notably for me, Man of Steel. He's likely to be up near the top of the betting. He makes his hurdling debut here, having won 3 bumpers and won them relatively easily as well, and defying the penalties and so on and so forth. It's not easy to do in bumpers, is it?
It's not, and I would agree with you. He's looked lovely through the summer, but this race actually had some lovely entries at the five-day stage. Obviously, the recent Navan scorer of Manila 5-0 was actually in there, Sky Farmer, and Pure Science, who is a horse that really caught my eye in the champion bumper at Cheltenham, staying on up the hill in sixth place. He was actually had an entry in this, which is why I chose the race. I didn't expect it to to cut up like this. I completely take your point about Man of Steel, but it's the Sky Farmer for me. He's already got some beautiful looking form. He was just beaten by Red Sherlock in horrendous ground at Ascot in February.
Mm-hmm.
Then he was third to the hugely, I mean, everyone's talking about West Wizard, aren't they, after the impressive win at Kempton last season, which was, I believe, the Saturday after the festival. Then he was very taken with his bumper win at Wincanton, and I'm very keen on a horse that finished third to him there called Triller in Manila. And obviously, the ground that changed from mid-March at Kempton to April at Wincanton, he found himself sort of better on the ground. Now, the going at Newton Abbot, I believe, at the moment is good to soft, but if the Sky Farmer is sort of anything that the horse that I think he is from what I've seen, then I do give him preference over Man of Steel.
Okay.
Would be him for me. I'm sort of very interested to see Nick Williams put in Beau de Tobel as well. Obviously, he's just had the run one in a... Sorry, that's not easy to say, is it? One run in a bumper.
Yeah.
Nice enough again at Uttoxeter. There's an awful lot of Uttoxeter summer form being brought to this race, but it was the Sky Farmer that was running in some very decent bumpers last year that gets my vote.
Okay, the Sky Farmer then in the 220. Just to mention Even If as well in there, purely because he's if nothing else, he's got the benefit of experience over hurdles. He was 6th of 16 on his hurdling debut at Wincanton. And do you think that could play a part in any way?
Yeah, of course. And you always have to. Yeah, you know, the colours, the connections, you've always got to look twice. He was, if my memory serves me correct, he won a bumper in very heavy ground at Bangor in December.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's the... And, yeah, you have... This is... even though it's only six runners, it's still an intriguing contest. Would have obviously liked it if a lot of the... You know, a few more of the exciting entries had stood their ground. There was Manila Friend was in there as well, which is from a lovely family. He's related to Quillifer and Bachelor's Hall. He, you know, there were some very nice horses entered up, but it's still a good contest. But yeah, Sky Farmer for me.
Okay, Sky Farmer then in the 220. On to the 330 at Newton Abbot next then. This is a handicap hurdle, a Class 2 handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 6 furlongs, so 2¾ miles here. And let's start with, where shall we start? Uncle Jimmy, a convincing winner of a novice's hurdle at Fontwell last time. Even played in the Lanzarote, William Hill Lanzarote hurdle last year, so they must think quite a bit of him. What do you make of Uncle Jimmy?
Yeah, I agree with you there. He did sort of run in the Lanzarote. I'm just trying to. He went off quite a big price for that, didn't he? He was beaten a long way. Again, that would have been sort of when the ground was still softest. But then his win at Fontwell was in soft ground as well. I just think if you look at the top two, Wayward Prince and Kangaroo Court, not often on a Friday afternoon at Newton Abbot will you see horses that have contested the ARC or the RSA and the Gold Cup between them running in a handicap hurdle. Kangaroo Court came back to form last time with his win at Newton Abbot, which was lovely to see. You know, he had a few years in the wilderness, time off through injury. Emma Lavelle stable absolutely on fire. Banged in another one, obviously, with the well-regarded Claret Coat yesterday at Toaster. I can't speak today, Mark. Sorry, Claret Cloak, not Carrot. I'll just give up on that. you know what I mean. Claret Coat, Cloak, even.
Yeah.
He's, obviously, so go back to what I was saying before I lost the will to pronounce things. The Lavelle stable is on fire. Wayward Prince, I mean, this horse was actually... A couple of years ago, I had such high hopes for this horse. He back to form in the early part of last season, second in the Charlie Hall, and won at Aintree. He was actually a Grade 1 winner over hurdles in 2010. He won the Taunton Chase as a novice up in Wetherby. Last saw him 7th in the Gold Cup, and then 6th behind First Lieutenant at Aintree. Even though that's... some ways what the level that's required in those races, he still has the most superior form in this. He was doing all right before he met the really heavy ground in the Argento last season. Again, just time to throw it up. Very interesting that they've put this as a season target. The engine is still there. The will is still there, as we saw last year. And to completely take the point about Uncle Jimmy, nice on his Fontwell win, but on all known sort of form, you'd have to be with Wayward Prince.
Yeah.
You know, a former grade one winner. He can do it off 11, 12. I know, obviously, he's given the likes of Uncle Jimmy and Hands Up for Detroit, you know, a stone. But it's worth mentioning Wilton Milan as well. See, third in a nice race to Geoffrey Chambertin at Haydock. Ran in the 3-miler at Aintree and dropping back to sort of 2.6 here. I quite like Wilton Milan. But, yeah, it has to be... I think I'd have to go with Wayward Prince.
Yeah. On back form, he's by far and away the best horse in the race, isn't he? He won the Sefton at Aintree.
Yeah.
He won that race at Weatherby that you talked about, the Toton Novices Chase. He third in the RSA, you know. He ran in the Gold Cup, didn't he, last year?
Yeah, he did,
didn't,
yeah.
Didn't cut much ice. But, I can see where you're coming from. Do you think he's still got enough... Well, massive dropping class. Well, not massive, but a dropping class.
Yeah, it is. I mean, he's got one hurdle rating of 139. His chase rating is 147. I think he did hit 150 over fences. You know, he's not grade one. I think he could have been grade one over fences. You know, he certainly looked as if he was going to be in the early stages of his chasing career. But he's still... His form is still far superior to sort of the ones that are lower down the race. I just think it's intriguing to start him off here. They can get him ready first time, as we sort of saw him run so well in the Charlie Hall last year. It's intriguing to see him. I'll certainly be I'll actually be on a train tomorrow when that race is off, but I'll definitely be watching the replay. I think. Let's see, the Mark Gillard horse, Bravo, he stuck up quite a nice relationship with Nico de Boinville. But, yeah, I think we're looking at... Yeah, it's got to be Wayward Prince for me.
OK. Wayward Prince then in the 2.30 at Newton Abbot, and moving to Carlisle next for the 3.55 there. We're jumping at Carlisle on Friday afternoon. It's a 2.5 mile novices chase, and superior quality right down at the bottom of the weights there. Could be interesting. Won a maiden hurdle at Warwick and an Albert Bartlett trial at Musselburgh before pulling up in the actual Albert I've caught it off you now. I can't speak either. Before pulling up in the Albert Bartlett novices hurdle at the festival. He makes his chase debut on Friday afternoon and could be interesting over fences.
Yeah, he could be interesting. Obviously, talking about trainers in form, Charlie Longston's been in flying form as well. You've got sort of several trainers that are burning up in the early season sort of jump season form. I mean, you've got Emma Lavelle, Evan Williams absolutely on fire at Ludlow yesterday, and Charlie Longston's been doing very well. This guy actually, he had some nice form in Ireland. He won a bumper at Downpatrick, and obviously, like you say, he won the Albert Bartlett Scottish trial at Musselburgh. Pulled up in his last start, as you've mentioned there, in the Grade 1 Albert Bartlett at Cheltenham. Yeah, very... It's in that sort of. He's got a nice weight. Very interesting. Charlie Longson in form. Long way up to Carlisle from where he's based. The two that I mean, I know I've talked about Brackenhouse before, and form. All right, is the form of the Cartmel race isn't, you know, that good. But he sort of, when he won at Cartmel, everything went wrong. The saddle slipped. It was sort of a bit all over the shop, and he still won. I think it's very interesting that you've got Peter Bowen bringing Bookham Dana all the way up here after a monster layoff of 601 days. The one horse that I'm looking forward to seeing is Beeves for Donald McCain's, purely because he's got a really nice piece of form where he was second to African Gold last November, and African Gold is a horse that I actually, you know, really very keen on for this coming season. This is a trappy little novices chase. So I wouldn't have a look at Hunting Tower. Obviously, it's been second the last twice over jumps. Ran on the flat 43 days ago at Lingfield with 6 of 8. His form is sort of falls maybe some way of what, you know, Reef Dancer and Hunting Tower, the two oldest horses in the race. I'm going to side with Beeves, purely because I really liked that second. It wasn't beaten far by African Gold. I'm sort of worried about superior quality, but I'll side with Beeves.
OK, Beeves in the 3.55 at Carlisle. And let's just have a quick summary, if we can, before you go, if you'll spin us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, so in the 2:20 at Newton Abbott, I will be with the Sky Farmer. In the 3:30 at Newton Abbott, it is the former Grade 1 winning Wayward Prince. And Carlisle, I think the interesting horse for me is Donald McCain Beeves.
Okay, good stuff. Thank you very much for speaking to us again, Catherine. It's been a pleasure to speak to you, or to at least try to speak to us as we've been going along. Yeah, enjoy Friday's racing. It should be a good day, shouldn't it?
Yeah, no, brilliant day. And Saturday cars are fantastic. Obviously, a brilliant card down at Newmarket, and a lovely curtain raiser almost to the jumps at Chepstow. That's a very nice card. Very looking forward to seeing the four-year-old limited handicap hurdle there. Get to see some triumph hurdle form on show. And yeah, it all starts now.
Yeah, should be good. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Mark.
So there you go then, the thoughts of Catherine Fry on Friday's racing. You can hear it all on Racing Radio from 1:40 p.m. Dave Kellner, Andy Holding and Gary Capel will be in the studio. The three meetings on Friday afternoon are flat racing from York, jumps action at Carlisle and Newton Abbott, and two meetings in the evening, Wolverhampton on the all-weather domestically, and there's an all-weather fixture over in Ireland at Dundalk as well. That card in Dundalk features the Star Appeal Stakes, which is a listed race for two-year-olds over 7 furlongs. So five meetings to look forward to, and you can hear it all live on Racing Radio on Friday. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Friday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.